Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you today to the Queen Esther's Royal Ambassadors Women Show. I know you are going to hear something wonderful from our speaker today. You are going to hear something wonderful through the Lord as he speaks through her. And so I greet you, beloveds, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so today we want to first welcome the Holy Spirit, because without him we are nothing. And giving honor to God and the Spirit of Christ, who has instituted this ministry and birthed it. So I praise God for every opportunity that I've had to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and we have a great, an amazing woman of God today, Apostle Dr. Murphy. And so in just a few minute or two, I'm going to announce her to share with you. And I also want to thank God for my husband, Apostle, who's not in the microphone today. He wants to just sit by and hear Dr. Murphy share today. He says, I'm going to be quiet, so don't ask me to speak. I just want to hear Dr. Murphy share. And so we honor God today for Apostle Murphy, for who she is and what she has done. And most of you that are listening, I know that you have been a part of her life. She has blessed you in so many wonderful ways and is still blessing you. Glory be to God. You know, Apostle, I find that many of us do not honor and esteem one another highly. So I want to give credence to God for her, because she has been a blessing, not just to my life, but to the body of Christ. I've watched what God has done to her. And what he is still doing through her today. Amen. And so I want to say welcome again and happy, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers, whether biological, spiritual mentor, a guardian, a foster mother, or you may have adopted a child. I want to pray God's blessings and peace and strength to you for a beautiful, happy Mother's Day weekend. And so without any further ado, I want to welcome Apostle Dr. Sandy Murphy to the line. Woman of God, thank you so much. It's an honor to have you on the line. Welcome.
God bless you and Apostle in the background. I honor you all. I tell you, this has been a really, really wonderful day, even though, you know, we're going through a lot right now with so much. I tell people, they're looking for a job, put a mask on and some gloves. You got a job. That job is every day. We got to remember to gear up. I almost walked out of here today with no gloves on. and no mask. And I went, wait a minute, oh God, my whole life has changed. And this is what I want to talk about today. I want to kind of talk about the importance, you know, and the woman that I wanted to share about today is Mary Magdalene. And, you know, and I know you had asked me to give, you know, a little nidbit of my testimony, but I just thank God just for life. And this day is very significant. Without going any further, I want to make sure I give God glory because this day, number 8, is very important. This is for somebody that's listening today. There is a new beginning past this COVID, you know, challenge that we're in. We're in a new day. The Lord spoke to me before the new year that we're in a new now. And so this number 8 is very, very important for you to grab hold to your new beginning, your new now. So happy Mother's Day to you and for the fathers who had to come in instead of the Mother's Day. The mothers in times of trauma, in times of even a loss where we are now with this COVID, I believe that it's proper to say Happy Mother's Day to them as well. But I wanted to share Mary Magdalene really quick and just in kind of fold in my own life in regards to Psalm 119:71 that I really, really hold in my heart that it was good for me that I have been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. And one of the things that the Lord has ministered to me is an evangelist when I was first ordained and licensed as an evangelist. He reminded me of the different caves that I was in, you know, the different places that I had went in trenches and went in places of, you know, rejection, not only that were in the Christendom, but those were in my own home who did not believe that a woman should preach the gospel. You know, there was a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in that cave. But then he also reminded me of my maturity as I grew older to become a leader and one that, you know, licensed and ordained people. He reminded me some of those caves I put myself in, some of those things, I know I'm talking to somebody, that we were fighting against the physical, the divine thing that Daddy wanted to put us in, his divine placement, a divine alignment that he wanted us to make sure that we're going to do what he say do in his timing and not try to listen to the voice of the negativity and the rejection that many of us receive in our own homes. I know I'm talking to somebody.
My Lord.
And so I really just wanted to share about Mary Magdalene briefly and talk about my life on that merge with her. One of the things that I believe that was a great negativity to me, and I know I'm talking to somebody, is the voice of rejection, the voice of abandonment, the voice of not understanding this that you called me to do. I was always a watcher as a young girl. I would sit and watch people. Sometimes find myself watching things that I did not appreciate that I saw because I was such a watcher. And that came from fear of the unknown. I don't know if I have to run, you know, with my mom getting beat up all the time. I didn't know if I had to run and get everybody together like little chickens and run. I didn't know what I may have to do, so I was always watching. And that watching, I soon learned that I was a watchman, one that was called to see. I would see it before it even got to happen. I knew what he was going to do before he even did it to my mom. We are now right now that we got to make sure that we look at what are you doing with this call on your life? Who are you listening to? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? And to slow this thing down as I begin to ask God, well, what about this that I see now after I went through and being in those particular caves of disappointment and rejection? Many of you who are called, because we know that many are called and many are called but few are chosen, but we want to make sure that we look at how am I really magnifying that call as it relates to Matthew 28:19-20. And so Mary Magdalene, if you look at her name, Mary alone means loved by Yahweh. And Magdalene, it comes because she's from the town of Magdala. I'm not going to be able to get into a whole bunch of the life of her, but I wanted to kind of shadow myself on where I was versus where I am now and those who I'm talking to who have a call versus being chosen. And I felt that in that time, because of where I had been, like Mary Magdalene, if I could ever be anybody and don't want to have to endure what she went through, but I believe that I experienced, my God, I know I'm talking to somebody, I experienced some issues that Mary Magdalene went through. Many demons, and many of them are still running rapid, and a whole lot of people who say that they have been called and chosen into the, you know, the walk of a leader, whatever realm it is, whatever fivefold it may be. But Mary's relationship with Jesus had to do with these seven demons. And that's the reason why I don't care what. I believe that it was all good for me, that I was afflicted, that I went through that, that I may be able to worship my King, that I may be able to bring him glory from all that he has done for me. Once I was freed from that, once those demons that I really got real, as they say, real about it, that this is what I'm doing. I am a prostitute out here with these men, prostitute my body. I am drinking alcohol and smoking dope, trying to preach and trying to cope with family matters. I know I'm talking to somebody. When I really, really got real about the matter, I need to be delivered for real so that I can preach the gospel for real, you know, without wondering if somebody's going to find out something about Sandy Murphy. I then realized that I was freed by my daddy God, and no longer will I be empty anymore of anything. I became full of his glory. I know I'm talking to somebody. And so Mary Magdalene followed him. She served him. She even sold into him. And that's what I think is so powerful today. I learned how to be humble. I learned that this call, this Matthew 28, was not just something that I heard the sound of God in my heart about, I need to go and touch somebody else's life. I knew then that I became this messenger that Mary Magdalene was. She didn't care what they said. Peter doubted her. It didn't matter. She was going to make sure she knew. She was the first one at the tomb, her and the others. But she knew that she wanted to know, where that you laid him? Where is the man that took my life from dust to now to me to be able to see a brighter light? And so she stood there. Even in the crucifixion, we know that if God has helped even Mary Magdalene, we're now right now, we got to know that if he's called you, he's going to take you to that place. Amen. So we got to know that he's trying to return you from this thing that you keep going back to, that vomit thing. And he's trying to give you a closer walk with him so you really know who you are. So you really, really know what it is, your totality in the call. And so then, Apostle, What do we need to be talking to him about as it relates to a call versus being chosen? We got to know that there's some very significance about that. Many of us say that because we call, you know, and we say, well, we know few are chosen, but every call that the believer receives, you know, many of us get the handshake and we think that because we got some oil put on us that we have been what they call incited. No, now I've already been chosen for this thing. But spiritually, just to be incited, that means you just been stirred up, right? Like I was, and I was so stirred up, running around trying to act like Benny Hinn and everybody else. But once I got an understanding that this was only an excitement, this was only where I was urged, this was only when I came out of the cave that I was spiritually driven. That's that incitement, as Jeremiah 29 talks about, that it's just chirping my bones. I can't be quiet. That's where Mary was. She said, come and see a man. He is alive, my God. But yes, when we're incited, that's just one shift, right? But when you think about the incitement, we're so excited about the call, we forget that we have to be summoned to be chosen, right? That means now we have been commissioned and set apart. And that's what I want to talk about briefly today, about how set apart are you really for this place that God has called you to, like Mary Magdalene. You know, have you really, really made a decision that you want to look at these true places that you got to look at distinguishing between the call and the election? Am I really, really going forth based on what God has told me to do? Am I really prepared? Am I really in position? Or am I still looking back at what they're saying, the one who says, God didn't call you, and you know you heard God's call. Okay, so but am I really positioned for that chosen position that God is really trying to put us in? Am I really flowing effectively? Am I really?
My God, Apostle, you know, so profound and so truthful to what you're saying, because that's part of what the Lord gave me earlier today when you mentioned about anointed, but you're still doing those things, and you're still involved in drinking. And God said a lot of us are still anointed, but we're still rebellious. We're anointed, but we're still lustful. We're still liars. We're still walking in the things that we know we're not supposed to walk in. But yet there is that place in the spirit realm that we must enter in. You see, he spoke to me just a few minutes ago as I looked at some of the scriptures about wrestling. Handa rebe soto. We don't wrestle enough with God, Apostle, so we can be delivered.
Yes.
Today. We help us. We don't wrestle enough like we say we want change. We say we love God. We say, I'm trusting the Lord to help me. But we don't wrestle with God enough. Help us with that, Apostle. Help us.
Well, the hemorrhaging one was a great example of that. You look back at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You know, when we talk about the hemorrhaging woman, I mean, this one was desperate. You know, she wanted that to change in her life. Many times people don't want to recognize that there's processes that we have to go through to get to. And many times people can't get there because they don't want to recognize that these things have to fall off of us. These things have to come out of us. There's different things that God wants to get you to, but many people don't want to have the patience, you know, for the timing. They don't want to get in position. And a lot of those positions are neglected, and so then they, how they say, go before God or ahead of God, and the baby is aborted for that reason, or the baby gets perverted in the things of the flesh. And so I think it's important for us to look at, you know, where are we in waiting patiently, you know, for God to put us in those positions. And I think the hardest part right now, as far as the preparation is concerned, is because many people don't recognize that that patience is going to cost them to know and to be able to, you know, to take that food and be effective in the call. We have a lot of leaders who say they hear God about things, you know, or that it's God want me to do this or that. But that time is going to be costly for you to steal away and hear God. And when we steal away, we got to also look at it and ask God about our condition of our hearts while we're doing that. Because some things that may appear that it's God's voice and it's our own emotional time that we're in. And so that voice will speak, you know, and it will speak to us to make us believe that God is talking to us. So we need to make sure to execute it. We got to have strategy in the approach because the enemy already know what's still working in us. So we got to make sure that effectively and that the fruit comes out, so we're going to exercise the patience, number one, okay? We don't just want to jump out and start doing this stuff because it looks good or sound good or super spiritual. We want to make sure that that execution is coming across, that it's God's timing, and that's what we're talking about. You got to be patient for the baby. I mean, it took 9 months for a baby to come. You just a customer. I told you, you got all on your life. Don't mean to be jumping. Look at Mary Magdalene. She followed him everywhere he went. My God, I don't want to preach.
She served
him. She sold him to him, too. But we have people who don't want to do anything but just, how they say, hear a bunch of stuff. We have a whole lot of salad types of ministries that's going across now because of the state that we're in with the virus. But many people don't want to realize that this is going to be this way. We're in the hour right now. We're not going to be able to do church as usual. So we've got to position ourselves for the war, you know, and they got to learn submission, okay? That's the only elevation that you're going to get. That's a pathway. We have many who say that, oh, I want you to mention me. Oh, I want that. But when it comes to submission, when it comes to us trying to get them there, then they got to shift into being teachable. You don't have. You can't elevate without being teaching. You're teachable. It's just not going to work. So we got to get them prepared. And many of them are very weary in the God process of preparing. So we got to make sure that these difficult times that we're in, that the manifestation of what God is telling us to do, we are prepared to do it. You know, people keep saying we're in a new place, and I don't even use that word that they all using about. I think some word about reset, reboot. The devil is a lie. It's simply as repent and turn from the vomit. From the old ways that you continue to do and refuse to turn from your wicked way. We got to make sure we understand that this ultimate goal that God wants to have, the effective, fruitful type of ministry, is to know that God can use anybody. You know, he ain't looking at that rank and that status. He's looking at to see who are you going to believe? Who are you answering the call to? Let me stop right there. I don't want to preach.
Yes, 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 Apostle. It's really, really a mandate hour because there has got to be that realignment because many of us are out of line with God. And we have got to realize how important it is to reposition ourselves because we're out of position. And as you spoke earlier so powerfully, running around, we are doing a lot of works, but God is not in it. And it's not even the timing or what we think we're doing it's not what God wants, even for this hour. God may have it for the next 2, 3, 4 years down the line. So what can you help us with, even as you speak of Mary Magdalene, in making that decision, make that change, Apostle Murphy? What can you tell the women and men that are listening in this hour?
Well, one of the things that we need to understand, there's two hindrances when we're moving forward in the call of God on our lives. And one of the two that I always remember from my spiritual dad is there's a hindrance for what we're operating in as far as what we've heard in rejection. That means the opposition, okay? And then the other part is the insecurity. We're insecure in the call. And so we got to make sure that even though we've heard God, we need to make sure that we understand pretty much like Samuel. He didn't holler, Samuel. He gently spoke, you know. And so when you hear God's voice, that means there's something about what you heard. There's something about the way you heard it, you know, that's different, you know. And then it won't leave your spirit. Now you become spiritually pregnant. And so this gift or this vision is going to keep showing up in your mind. It's like a spiritual burden. And so you've got to get prepared not to reject it, but it's going to cost you discipline. You know, you don't got to get with someone who you know that God is telling you to get with. And many of the leaders who are saying that God said that you're supposed to be with me and I'm supposed to mentor you and I'm supposed to help you, these people don't even have the anointing or grace to give the people what they need. We might as well face that. We need each other, but we got to understand that we need to stay where we're supposed to be. And I can't expect you to teach me on deliverance when you ain't never really operated in that gift. I can't expect that from you, even though I know you could teach me a lot of things. And God has anointed us to do many things. But we should be able to discern that without getting with them because, oh, they preach good, or, oh, they got a big flock and calling. So going for your call is important. So just as someone inviting you out to teach and all that stuff, many people ain't operating out a number of talents, and it's not the fivefold gift. Okay, it's just a talent. Talent to do hair, talent to cook, talent to wait on people, you know. And so people want to now tell them that they're evangelists. We need to make sure we understand the true call of God. We need to choose to understand the will of God, okay, the timing of God, and expect the warfare that comes with this call. You know, so you're going to need people to guide you, to counsel you, to advise you. And that place is the hardest place to get someone that may have been sitting under somebody with a lot of intellectualism, but they think that they already know everything, you know, and a whole bunch of religiosity. They figure they already know anything, forgetting that there's going to be war to come with the call. So they got to overcome these hindrances of the inward opposition, okay? That voice is talking to you to make you feel inadequate. That voice is telling you that, you know, women don't do that no more. We don't allow that. They're not going to let you preach. Oh, don't wear them pants in here. Women don't wear pants. You know, these inadequacies and these religiosities is what's robbing now the evangelistic call that God has called us to. And people are dying because of the hindrance. People are dying because of the inadequacies. And the degree of the anointing on a person's life is really being sapped from them because of these two areas.
My. You know, Apostle, thank you so much for sharing such beautiful truth. I want to piggyback a little bit on when you talk about fear. Remember how I was so fearful when I knew I was called to pastor and I was taken to the church and given the building and I saw everything put in place. I mean, music, organs, chairs, everything was there. And I'm like, I can't do this. No way. I started struggling. I'm having enough trouble going here as a prophetess, preaching here. How in the world am I going to pastor? And I remember how God spoke to me about coming and sitting with him and just resting so he can help me with the spirit of fear because I didn't think I'm capable. And, of course, my mom says, oh, you're not called to preach, you're a woman, and many, many things that have been said about the female. So, Apostle, help us today because we're really in an unprecedented time here, and we need to understand the importance of our identity. So please share with the women of God and those that are listening how important it is to understand their before they go here, there. Because one thing quickly, we had evangelists in our church, and we put her up front, and we thought she's ready to preach. But when she got there, she had nothing to say. She was just doing a lot of different things. And so Apostle and I sat her down and said, what's going on? She said, oh, they just gave me license here, there. I have this, I have that, but I've never been anointed enough. I never felt I was sanctioned. And so you're actually rightfully truthful about what you said, that a lot of us are licensed in preaching and teaching, but we're not even ready for that. Apostle,
well,
go on. And
one of the reasons why, there's a couple of things that I bring out in one of my books that's called Women Who Answer the Call. So we got to recognize and embrace who's our spiritual mother, who our mentor is, and, you know, who is the midwife. And so I talked about that, about preparing our eyes to see. Okay, we're all born to see. And so the thing is, we got to make sure that God is not saying that you are a seer, but we're born to see in the spirit once you, you know, cross over and know that God is speaking to your life. And so one of the things that women need to understand is we got to figure out who is the person that God has appointed in my life to help me birth out what he's called me to do. And that insecurity that I talked about, it drifts around. It cripples the woman because, first of all, we already got the stagnation because of the fact that we are a woman and trying to preach the gospel, especially to men. And so we need to understand that, you know, if we don't feel secure, we're going to have fear. It's going to be very subtle. And eventually, we're going to sabotage, or we're going to abort the very vision. So these are some common areas that I just want to point out really quick that I shared in the book. But we need to make sure that we recognize how to push. And so that's the first thing we got to identify. Okay, where am I? We got to look at where I need to be broken at, okay? What I need to do before I call myself trying to get out anywhere. You know, am I self-sufficient? Am I an island and I don't need nobody to tell me nothing? Then number three, we need to look at where's my purpose really? You know, am I divinely aligned? Am I in position in the right placement for the alignment? You know, divine placement is the spirit God puts us in, our call. You know, to him, to do the things his way, in those realms, to accomplish the assigned purpose. Divine placement is a positioning that calls us to form in the natural what God has spoken to us in the spirit. I don't want to preach.
Yeah,
and so we need to give, and we need to receive the blessing, okay? And most of us are in this insecurity phase of it because we want to compare is number one. Number two, we want to feel like that there should be a compensation to us because we feel like a victim from where we've been, whether the church hurt or whatever, and they won't let us preach or they haven't given us a license. And then number three, we have this competition. And then we have this compulsion that we feel driven to perform to gain people's approval, and then we have condemnation when we have this self-pity because of rejection, and then we want to have a Jezebelic spirit. Now we want to control it because we hurt. Lord, help us today.
Yes. Jesus, my God. My God, my God, my God. So very true, Apostle, so very true. I don't want to go into anything because I know how much you're full of what God is giving you, not only just for today's show, but what you've experienced in the earth. And so I just want you to flow, Apostle, just from your book, from your spirit, your heart, your notes. Just go ahead because this is where we are today. Raise up to be risen up. God has raised you up for such a time as this, but you're still in that dormant place. So help them, Apostle, to come out of that place and come forth in God.
Well, I want to say this before I close. I think something that we need to meditate on is to see what's hindering me. Is it the fear of failure, or is it the fear of what they would say? I'm not an apostle. I'm not an evangelist. Many of you that may be listening to me may be an evangelist like I was for all them years, and God may have shifted you and transitioned you as an apostle. But you don't want to do that because your pastor might not be anything in the fivefold but the pastor. And so maybe God has already shown you that you're an apostle. But we tend to hinder the call because the call is not allowing us to feel content. You know, it's going to give you some discomfort. We've been comfortable way too long. And so we need to look at, where am I operating really? Have I really been reassessed by my spiritual mentor or whatever to tell me where I'm at right now and accept that fact? And because God's going to hold those leaders accountable for not positioning the people. Okay, so we got to discern where the significant, you know, to answer that call. Where have I had the least awareness about of the call? We also need to think about, you know, what's the final thing that I need to look at of my own personal convictions. So you need to know the difference between the call and the election. You know, have I really been chosen to do this? You know, have I elected myself, you know, in this position? Many have been called about the book of Jude tell us that. Many call themselves apostles and prophets, and they're not. Where are we? Or does the name sound good? And then how can I, as a believer, prepare for this call and this election? You know, and what are the consequences? Do I really know that God has been telling me that I know that I've got to face him about rejecting the call? I don't want to preach.
My God.
But we're in the eighth day today, and I need to tell you, you got to put your feet in the spiritual stirrups and push. Don't listen to the devil, because the consequences of that is that you're going to fail for where God is telling you that he wants you to be given him like Mary Magdalene. To go ye therefore, as Matthew 28:19-20 is telling us, like she did. She went, and she didn't care. She gave because she loved him that much and nothing else mattered. She had an intensity that nobody could stop her. She wanted to make sure that everything that Daddy God put inside of her, that it was revealed. Mary Magdalene is a great example today that many of those that are sitting on the pews or those that are teaching from the pulpit, God is saying, now what are you going to do with what I've given you? What about what I taught you and taking you out of? I don't want to preach that you can't tell nobody your testimony. You can't tell nobody about what I've done to you because you're still dealing with shame and pride. So what degree are you really willing to give up? You know, what's hindering you? What is your inward battle? What is your inward opposition? What is your inward insecurity? You know, or are you just going to go ahead and answer the call? Or are you just going to sit there and say, well, when God's timing is, that was the devil used to tell us. That's why a lot of them ain't filled with the Holy Spirit today. Because they say, if God want to give me the tongues, I get it. Well, the Bible says, if you really, really hungry and thirsty after it, if you say, if you really, really desire, that means you're chasing after it, you're going to catch it. So these characteristics I've said, go ye. Amen.
Yes, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. We could just feed for more of that, Apostle. I mean, amazing, powerful, profound word. Right on target and rhema from the realm of the spirit realm. When, women of God, when are you going to come out of those excuses? Every excuse is nothing but a lie. Ah, Rosh Sheba. You know, today the Lord gave me something when I was praying for the people. I said, Lord, I want you to fill Apostle Murphy's mouth, whatever words I would speak, you would fill my mouth to speak only what you would say. And this is one of the things he says, we've got to make a decision. We don't make decisions. We find excuses, and we do a little bit here, a little bit there, but people are dying, and you mentioned that earlier. Souls are dying, and if you know anything about the realm of the Spirit, those of you that are listening on the call of God, you and I are all appointed to somebody in this life.
Whether
it's from Africa, from Zimbabwe, from New York to the city, wherever you live, there's somebody that you're accounted for. But what are we doing? We have not been God long enough, Apostle, so we don't even know when God would allow that open door. It could be at the bus station. It could be at the gas station.
That's right.
Because we're not in the realm of the spirit enough, we will never meet. Some of us want to get married. But how can you get married? You're not flowing with God enough. You're not
That's
unified.
Right.
You're not cooperating with God. So, Apostle,
right,
in your last words, just share with us, and I just want you to pray for those that are listening. Thank you so much for this beautiful word.
Well, I just want you to know there's a price for rejecting the call. You know that God can use anybody. Regardless, and you got to also know this, that God has already told us that he's going to give us the time of a thing, the blessing of a thing, the promotion, the favor, everything, the protection. And he also had the place and the promotion and divine alignment for everything that he has called and elected to do a thing in the earth because he wanted to be fruitful. So, Father, I pray, God, that even now, that one that is listening on this eighth day, by the power of the blood and the anointing of the apostle put on my life, I decree that you are pregnant even now in the spirit and that you are delivering before the end of this month in the name of Jesus, that you will put your feet in the stirrups for real this time because you're going to answer the call. I decree that by the power of the blood in the name of Jesus, that your mind has rejected every voice that you've heard thus far and that you're repenting for rejecting the call and the delay of the call in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you're going to be committed to the call and that you're going to get the help that you need to deliver your baby without it being aborted. I give you praise for today, Daddy, and I thank you that even now we're commanding the heavens to open over those that are hearing on the sound of my voice, that they're obeying you and they will shut the sound of the devil in their ears and their hearts. In no other name but Jesus, and it is so. Amen.
Amen, 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 and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Those of you that are listening in the archive, I see you. Those of you that are on the switchboard, can you give an amen to God for that, for what God spoke through the Apostle Dr. Sandy Murphy today? Apostle, we are so grateful to you, and thank you so much for your time, your busy schedule. You always have something to say to the body of Christ. Those of you to
That's
cheer.
My
amen.
Daddy. I'm Mary Magdalene.
Amen. 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 Because that's what God does, beloved. He has something to speak. People say God don't speak today. Yes, he is, but you're not.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he speaks. He speaks. He speaks. And so, beloved, your destiny awaits. You have been waiting long enough. What are you still doing on the sidelines? What are you still sitting in the back? Why are you still lowest on the totem pole? Oh, my God. We are so, so full of blessings. We are called to colonize the earth.
Apostles, yes, God.
We're called to dominate, even as Adam gave the names to the animals and the birds. We have so much in us. We can call those things that be not as though they are, but we cannot see the fulfillment of our lives.
Yes, God.
But we're still not in the face of God. So we have got to put aside and lay aside those heavyweights and all those things.
Yes, Lord.
That easily beset us so we can become delivered, because deliverance is needed. How can you give to others when you're not delivered yourself? So, Apostle,
yes, God.
An amazing, amazing word. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. It's a blessing.
Appreciate
to
you
have
for having me. Thank you so much.
Amen, Apostle. Beloved, I want you to feed on this word. I'm going to repost it. I'm going to send it to your page wherever you can receive it. And I pray that you will listen again. One person post. They have a problem with the sound, but as far as I know, everything seems okay from this thing, because I checked with the other phones and it comes out very clearly. So, beloved, happy Mother's Day again to you, and enjoy God's this weekend. Always find time to speak truth about Jesus Christ, that he loves them. Say something to a soul, because souls are dying even around us, and make sure that you are walking in the ways to please God. Not man, but to please God. Apostle, thank you again. We'll talk soon, beloved. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. Thank you for the show. And we'll talk again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.